నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో హరే కృష్ణ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 10 చాప్టర్ 16 టెక్స్ట్ 39 and 40. నమస్తుభ్యం భగవతే పురుషాయ మహాత్మనే భూతావాసాయ భూతాయ పరాయ పరమాత్మనే. ద డిసైపుల్స్ ఆఫ్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ అభయ చరణ అరవింద భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: వి ఆఫర్ అవర్ ఒబేసెన్సెస్ అన్ టు యూ, ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్. Although present in the hearts of all the living and living beings as the super soul, you are all pervasive. Although the original shelter of all created material elements, you exist prior to their creation. And although the cause of everything, you are transcendental to all material cause and effect, being the super soul. Purport: the beautiful Sanskrit poetry of this verse should be chanted out loud for the transcendental pleasure of the reciter and the hearer. We'll even recite the text 40. Jnana vijnana nidaye brahmane nanta shaktaye agunaya vikaraya namaste prakrutaya cha. Translation: obeisances unto you, the absolute truth, who are the reservoir of all the transcendental consciousness and potency and all the possessor of unlimited energies. Although completely free of material qualities and transformation, you are the prime mover of material nature. Purport: those who consider themselves intellectual, philosophic or rational should carefully note here that the absolute truth, the supreme personality of Godhead, is the ocean of all knowledge and consciousness. Thus, surrendering unto the Supreme Lord does not entail giving up the method of rationally comprehending reality. Rather, one merges into the ocean of rational logic comprehension. The Supreme Lord is perfection of all the sciences and all forms of knowledge, and only envious and trivial minds would deny this obvious fact. Once again, seeking the blessings and prayers of all the devotees so that I can speak something for my purification. So we are continuing our discussion from this chapter called Krishna Chastises the Serpent Kalia. And the scene is that Kalia is in a very critical condition. Now he's been severely traumatized and he's practically now gasping for air and life. And he's just few moments away from seeing the death face to face. So he desperately needs a support system. As in medical terminology, they say a ventilator, just so that he can somehow survive. So exactly at that moment, when he's just about to leave, the Nag Patnis, or the wives of Kalia, they offer something called as clemency plea. A clemency plea is a plea that is being forwarded to the President of India. When even the Supreme Court rejects the request of the convict. So it's only up to the President of India to decide whether he can really be survived, he can really be let free. So at that time, Nag Patnis, they are offering that plea of compassion and mercy to Lord Krishna, which acts like an oxygen for the Kalia to revive back. So, and the fact is that Kalia has been traumatized, wounded, not only at the physical level, but more at the mental level. there are two reasons why Kalia was really traumatized or wounded, more at the mental level. Physical level, he was crushed, vomiting blood and poison. His head was reeling, completely exhausted. But the first reason why he was more tormented or traumatized at the mental level was because he always had this conception that, no, I am the king of all the serpents. And had such power, had such power that he could actually even dare to challenge Garuda. And he thought that nobody can overpower him. On the fact, the poison that he, his glands, no, the poison glands that were producing were so immense, the fire was emanating from his mouth was so immense that, you know, as we know, even the birds would drop dead. So he had this conception that nobody can actually conquer me. But here, he is being conquered by a small child. That's more painful for him. A child who has not even reached his teenage. It is just like in a game of World Cup cricket. A best batsman of our country, you know, hits centuries and, you know, half centuries in all the qualifying rounds, and then, you know, leads the whole country to the finals. And during those final moments, the same batsman, opening batsman, gets out on the first ball. Not, that's fine, but by a bowler who has just made a debut in the World Cup cricket. Had he been just bowled by a regular pace bowler, it would have not been so painful. But here, Kalia is being, killed by a, defeated by a child. Had Krishna shown his Virat form and, defeated Kalia, that's one thing. But for a Kalia to be defeated by a child, that's very painful mentally. The second reason why he was mentally traumatized was every man wants to show up. It's in a conditional stage. Every husband wants to show his prowess in front of his wife and children. It is said that there is nothing more gratifying for a man to hear, himself being glorified in front of his wife. And there is nothing more insulting for a man to be chastised by his own wife. And worse than that, there is nothing more insulting for a man to be, insulted by the chastisement of his wife in public. And here, the Nagpatnis indirectly, they are actually chastising Kalia, through the prayers that, they are offering to Krishna. And actually, they are glorifying Krishna. So for a man, that's, in a conditional stage, it's very painful. And even, not only that, even the small kids of Kalia were there right in front of him. And they are seeing, their father getting bashed. So for a husband, who always carries that notion, false conception that, nobody can defeat me. So that was a more painful situation for Kalia. But that was very, very important for Kalia to become humble and submissively hear and understand what his wives are saying and offering prayers. It's very interesting to note that till now, Krishna had already killed many demons. Putana, personally killed many demons. Putana, Agasur, Trinavarta, even delivered the two Yamalarjuna trees, bewildered Brahmaji. But when Krishna killed all these demons or bewildered Brahma or delivered this Nalakuver and Manigreve, nobody was physically present. The Brajavasis were not present physically. They just heard, the small kids saying that, that Krishna actually killed. But nobody really listened. Nobody really took the kids' statements seriously. And every time Krishna killed any demon, all the Brajavasis, they gave credit not to Krishna, but to maybe some higher powers or demigods or at the max Narayan. It was Narayan who actually protected our son. So in a conditional stage, it is very unbearable for the ego to hear somebody else getting the credit for what we have done. It's like a person hitting sixers and fours and taking wickets, and he's responsible for actually winning the match, but man of the match award goes to somebody else. It's very frustrating. And here, that's the situation that's happening with Krishna. He is killing, but then the credit is going to somebody else. And now, at this moment when Krishna was actually about to kill Kaliya, all the Brajavasis were present there in front of him. And Krishna had the opportunity to prove that it is he who is all powerful. He had the first hand opportunity to show that he is right. That he's actually successful. But then, just because there was an interruption and Nagpatni offered these wonderful prayers, Krishna is so sensitive that he is willing to keep aside his own success and proving that he is right. But he is hearing to the plea of those ladies or of those species whom the world considers as a reject. Nobody really want to have pet serpents. Nobody wants to. They just consider them as rejects. Krishna is very, very sensitive. He's keeping aside his own interest. Of course, Krishna didn't have any interest. Now, he could have trampled upon all these small snakes. As he already had defeated Kaliya, what to speak of defeating the wives. But here Krishna is making a very powerful point, teaching us a lesson how we should be considerate, sensitive, and not just think of our own interest. Like one of a very, very devout follower of Srila Prabhupada, we all know, we must have heard this story many times, who met Prabhupada in the year 1970 in Toronto, just met Prabhupada for 3 hours. At that time, he was a world champion in the game of tennis. His name is Peter Barwash. And he was practically on television, radios, magazine, news channels. He was earning in millions. Not only that, even today, he's a powerful motivational speaker where he's traveling around 300 days in a year, earning like $5,000 in an hour. And a very high profile personality. This person, when he met Prabhupada, he was so influenced by the by the philosophy and the teachings that Prabhupada taught, that he actually practically applied, and he considers that as the success of his life. He was playing the finals in the Grand Slam of a tennis tournament. And just few moments were away from he being the winner of the tournament. And at that time, specifically for a tennis player, where he stands, strategically, it's very important where he stands to really face the aces the opponent tries to put. And here is this personality who knew where to stand exactly so that he can face. But at that moment, he happened to see some ants crawling. And he just moved aside. Now, he was being witnessed or watched over practically by millions of people on the television. The spectator, they were amazed to, they were surprised why this person in this world is changing his position. Even they knew that if this person changes his position, he may even lose the match. And losing means losing a lot of name, a lot of fame, a lot of practically millions of dollars. But he considered saving the lives of those ants more important than just winning a grand slam. Very unheard of. We don't see this happening in this world. So sensitive. And he considers that as the success of his life. So although he lost in front of, in the eyes of the world, but he actually won in the eyes of Prabhupada and Krishna. India, this is a true story. India was playing against Pakistan in a test match. I'm sorry, I'm just connecting, but it's very relevant. It will make sense. Now, India was playing against Pakistan in a test match in Pakistan. And one of the best batsmen of Indian cricket team was playing, and he already had a century and he was about to score a double century. He was just 6 runs away from his double century. He had already scored 194 not out. And at that moment, the captain of the Indian cricket team declared the innings. Can you imagine? Just 6 runs, you have to, he was there to show his, show his abilities and show his power of who he is. And he was so really upset. Captain thought that, it's a good time for us to declare the innings so that we have enough time. And anyways, we have scored enough. And from that time onwards, he had a tough time with the captain. So bhakti is all about playing for the team. And materialistic life is all about playing for one's own benefit or interest. And the same parallel we can see in even Srimad Bhagavatam. Prithu Maharaj was about to just score a century in performing his 100th sacrifice. And just because he was being intervened by Brahmaji and Lord Vishnu himself, he considered what's more pleasing to Vishnu than simply being an achiever. And just because Prithu Maharaj stepped down did not prove that he was wrong. In fact, it's like he valued the association of Indra, he valued the words of Guru and Krishna more than just being right. So, this is what Krishna is trying to teach us through this wonderful pastime. Just one of the many lessons. In fact, one of the devotees in our ashram, we were celebrating his birthday And all the devotees, they were there around him, you know, trying to cut the cake. And he refused. And we all were surprised, why? Later on he revealed, you know, that there are my god brothers who are not even wished on the day of their birthdays. How can I cut the cake alone? If I have to cut a cake, it has to be cut all together. So sensitive in understanding other people's needs, interests and concern. So sensitive in what we speak and how we behave. This is a lesson we can learn from Krishna. So I thought there are three S. S for serpent. That forms a foundation for sustaining relationships in this world. Like in a medical term, there is something called as a sustained release tablets, SR. It means that the effect of the tablet will continue on for a long time if it is SR. Similarly, for us to really have a long-standing relationship with our God brothers and our, especially with our peers, it's easy to have relationship with the seniors and juniors, but to have a long-standing relationship with our peers, our equals, 3S, I thought it's very important to share. I mean, at least important for me. The first is service with Krishna in the center. For example, there are two wonderful members in the family of Lord Vishnu. One is Garuda and one is Anantashesh. And no, if we see Garuda and snake, they are the arch rivals. But who is between them is the wonderful service they are rendering to Lord Vishnu. So it's very instructive. Not only that, if the demons and the demigods can come together on the words of Lord Vishnu, devotees can definitely come together in the service of Lord Krishna. So when service is there in the center, then we can continue on in a long run, a wonderful relationships amongst each other. The second S is the quality of sensitivity. 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita speaks about the austerities of speech. Austerity, that verse is nothing but how to actually develop a sensitivity in what we speak, to whom we speak. It's a beautiful verse. Anudvegam karam vakyam satyam priyetam chayat. So learning sensitivity in our dealings. In fact, Lord is so sensitive that when he is roaming around with his friends, he never ever makes his friends feel that he is superior, he is the boss. He is never trying to superimpose, or he is never trying to force his friends to surrender to him. I think that's probably the last. That's probably is the reason why Sarva Dharman Parityajya is the last shloka in Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Krishna did not speak this, or Krishna spoke this verse out of lot of hesitance and kindness, not out of arrogance or selfishness. So Krishna is very, very sensitive. Now when all the cowherd Gopa, the friends were like helping Krishna in lifting the Govardhan hill, Krishna really did not put them down by saying that actually I am the one who is lifting. He actually gave credit to all the friends by saying that it is because of your Brahma Tejas that I am able to lift. And few days back, Akinchan Krishna was giving a class. He was saying that Krishna is giving all the credit to Srimati Radharani for dancing on the hoods of Kaliya so wonderfully. Although he is the Adi Guru of all the kalas, all the skills. And Krishna just so loves to be defeated by his friend. Never carries an air around himself. So much to learn. Like before joining ashram, I just happened to pass one day from the ashram and I just happened to see one personality cleaning toilets. And I did not know him personally, but later on I realized that he's on a very high position, being the temple president of this temple. I was thinking, here I am, now who at home is ordering my mother and father, get me a glass of water. And here he is, this personality, if he wants, he can, but he is just asking for a service, a menial service, not even desiring to be recognized. A person who is giving so many wonderful lectures and managing so many projects, and when he is coming to temple, goes to the kitchen and embraces a kitchen staff member who is just washing a pot. Not only that, he is actually sitting next to him and washing the pots. Never ever giving that feeling. Of course, this is not to embarrass somebody or undermine other devotees' contribution. So many congregation devotees we can speak about, but the culture that is being inculcated, not to be heard, not to be seen, it's not a product of this material world. It has to be a product of a mature devotional service. One of the congregation devotee during the Vyas Puja offering of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was saying that force is not the force. It is the purity that is the force. It is not because of the force that is being imposed upon the devotees that everybody is coming every Sunday here in thousands. Festivals, gathering together in thousands. So the force is not the force, but it is the purity that is attracting people from all over the world. So this is a lesson that we can learn from this wonderful pastime. One more lesson that we can learn is that a living entity is suffering from a disease called amnesia. Amnesia in medical term means a loss of memory. And there are two types of treatment to overcome that disease called amnesia. One by a shock treatment and other is called a stimuli treatment. And just as Krishna danced on the hoods of Kaliya, even the material nature is dancing in the lives of living entity. And living entity has actually, out of ego and envy, has actually forgotten his original position and actually thinks that he is the controller. But then material energy of the Lord, through this threefold miseries and fourfold material problems, Adi Daivik, Adhyatmik, Adi Bhautik, and birth, old age, disease, and death, humbles every living entity, makes them bend to their knees. So that's a shock treatment in order to revive our memory back that we are not the controllers. But there is a much more sober treatment available than just giving a shock treatment. If a living entity cooperates, or a patient cooperates with the doctor and takes some stimuli, then he can again be revived back, or the memory of that patient can again be revived back. Similarly, if a living entity humbles him down beforehand and accepts or allows Krishna to dance on his tongue through this stimuli of this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then he need not undergo the threefold miseries which the normal ordinary living entity has to undergo. His miseries are already brought down. And to the degree or more the living entity takes shelter of the holy name, less will be the material miseries, or less will be the irritation that a material misery has to cause us inevitably. We have to undergo certain miseries, but those miseries will be reduced to practically nothing. So this is a wonderful lesson that Krishna or a guru is like a doctor who revives a patient from this disease called amnesia or spiritual forgetfulness. A wonderful example in this regard from Ramayana is Sugriva. Sugriva, he actually thought initially of serving Lord Ram, but then he forgot when he got all the opulences back. And he had to be reminded again and again, many times. Finally, Lakshmana had to give him a heavy dose and bring him back to his consciousness. So Guru, the words of Guru acts as a words of wisdom. And that's what is one of the very powerful ways of reviving or remembering again and again that we are not the controllers, but we are Das Anudas Anudas. And just a few minutes. So when this poison is being getting drained out from our consciousness, that we are not this controller, we have to be very, very conscious of this fact that we don't again get bitten by the poisonous snakes, which will aggravate the poison, which will increase the poison. There are three powerful poisonous snakes. There are many, but I thought worth mentioning here, which a living entity has to be cautious of, especially a sadhaka has to be cautious of, not to get bitten, otherwise it will really aggravate the poison. The first is hearing the blasphemy of a Vaishnava. That's a very powerful detrimental poison. The second is poison of sense gratification. And the third is the poison of hearing a Mayavad philosophy. Now, what most of the poison does when a serpent bites, when a poisonous snake bites a person, it can cause damage to two main systems of the body. Either cardiovascular system or central nervous system. Cardiovascular system is related to heart, and central nervous system is related to brain. So what these three poisons can do is they have a power to affect the heart and the head of a sadhaka. What lust does, lust makes the heart weak. and what hearing a blasphemy of a Vaishnava does, it makes the heart hard. And what hearing a Mayavad philosophy does to the brain is it actually causes a disorientation where he actually can't think what is right, what is wrong. He is not willing to accept the basic fact that we can never become God. In fact, during the churning of the milk ocean, when all the demigods and demons, they came together trying to get nectar out of that milk ocean, before they even started churning, Lord Vishnu cautioned them, especially the demigods, that do not get carried away by the two types of distractions. The distraction of temptation and the distraction of difficulties that comes on the path in order to churn that nectar, in order to get that nectar. So temptation gives us an apparent happiness and difficulties gives us apparent distress. So distress and happiness, they both are a distracting factors for a sadhaka in order to get that nectar. What distress does, distress causes disappointment, discouragement. And what happiness causes is hallucination. So if we get affected by these two dualities, then it becomes very difficult for a sadhaka to pursue the goal of achieving nectar in a long run. And Lord Vishnu is telling to all the demigods that more poisonous than the poison that will come out from the churning of the milk ocean is the poison of the sense objects. So do not get tempted. Because the sense objects which appeared from the churning, they apparently appeared to be like a nectar, but they were in disguise. If we know that it's a poison, then we'll be very careful. But if we don't know that it's a poison and it's a disguised form, it's in a disguised form, then it's more detrimental. So when we are taking the treatment, we have to make sure that we don't really take something which is poisonous again, which will increase the fever and which will make us forget our actual constitutional position. And coming to today's verse, the Nagpatnis, they are actually humbling down, not for themselves but for others, for their own husband. They are actually saying in this word that, my dear Lord, that you actually know everything. Why? Because you are residing in the hearts of every living entity. And it is because of you that he has been put into this species, and it's his nature and condition to be envious. So they are just trying to tell, my dear Lord, ultimately Kaliya is your child. Take him back in your service. Bhumoskalati padanam, bhumereva valambanam, twaijata paradhanam, twameva sharanam prabho. When a person falls on the ground, he takes help off the ground to get up. Similarly, my dear Lord, we have committed so many apradhas against your lotus feet, but it's only you who can offer us a helping hand to come out of that apradha. So Nagpatnis are offering these beautiful prayers, a petition, not for themselves but for others. That's a magnanimous quality a devotee has. He is less concerned about his own deliverance or salvation, but concerned more about the salvation of others. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Sorry if I have spoken anything beyond my adhikar and realizations, but I thought maybe I'll one day start implementing all this stuff. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.